All right now. Okay, listen to what we have planned for Calcutta celebration. Prasad distribution for the whole city. We want to invite the whole Calcutta to come and eat one day. No one cooks at home. In Calcutta, there's the biggest population in the country. Yeah, as many as there people are there in Australia. The entire population of Australia is equal to the population of Calcutta City. So many people. And Ajit Dharan Prabhu is started collecting grains and he's going to cook a delicious khichdi that day. So that's the kind of plan. We want to we'll do something big. Prabhupada never wanted us to do anything small. So when we want to do something for Prabhupada, we want to do something big. Why not? Why not, Maharaj? Yes. Then 10 days Pandal, Padyatra procession we already mentioned, BI conference, and very special Rathiyatra that day, called Calcutta Rathiyatra. And then 11th in the list is Prasad distribution. Every ISKCON center in India to start or revive. If they are not started, if they are never did in the past, then we want them to start prasad distribution. Or they were doing in the past but now stopped, we want them to revive prasad distribution, which was also very pleasing to Prabhupada. So these are the different areas. This is the line of thinking. What is the name of the deity?
Radha Giridhari. Radha Giridhari. Radha Giridhari.
When it was about to rain, I was thinking of Giridhari. Because we need Giridhari today. So he's the one who stopped the rain. So we want you to think more and assist us to finalize the concept. So as we said earlier, take some time off, sit down, think, or discuss with other devotees. And if you come up with some good ideas, some practical ideas, some big ideas, please write them down and give that piece of paper, those notes, any one of us at Padyatra booth in pavilion area. Note from the editor, okay. We are aspiring to publish Prabhupada's Smriti. Did you get that name correct? Prabhupada's Smriti.
Smriti.
Smriti. Smriti. Also, if you have any other name to suggest for this newsletter, remembering Prabhupada, he said. Prabhupada's Smriti is remembering Srila Prabhupada. Is that good? It sounds okay?
Yeah.
Prabhupada's Smriti. And you think of some names if you want to. If you have succeeded in accomplishing some service for Prabhupada's centennial celebration, or if you are thinking or planning to do something, please let us know. Send your news or views to us, care of ISKCON Vrindavan, so we can publish them in next issue. So the address for this newsletter editor, as I mentioned, Dhritarashtra Prabhu and his good wife, they are going to be working with this project very closely, and his good wife, Mahadevi Mataji, is going to be working on compiling this newsletter. This was just beginning, humble attempt. Wanted to come up quickly, something before Mayapur Festival. He came up with this 2-page newsletter. Next one should be bigger, at least 4 pages. And then we could go for 8 pages and 16 pages and that. Illustrations, photographs, some stories. We invite and he sent that to Vrindavan temple address. Phone number is also there. So, so I think you got some idea what we are planning. And during last 1-2 years we have been talking about this amongst the senior devotees, and everyone seems to be very much enthused with this idea of 5-year grand celebration to celebrate Prabhupada's 100th anniversary. And it seems, as I heard Apurva Prabhu, I was not so much getting news from Mayapur side, son, but today I heard that GBCs are really serious about this 100th anniversary celebration. And there was even Easter Goshti this morning, and part of the Easter Goshti this topic came up. One person that Prabhupada's disciples are actually involved in preaching and propagation work. Huh? What percentage? 10? 10 or 2? Huh? 10? I wish to hear 5,000 initiated disciples. And some years ago, there was some counting, and they said 800 disciples of Prabhupada. That was many years ago, maybe now not much yet. So considering there are 500 Prabhupada disciples still in the movement, that makes 10%. 5,000 total, now there are 500. So I mean, this big number, approximately 10% are with us. 90%! All stalwart, staunch men trained by Prabhupada. They had association of Prabhupada, and they were really fired up one time and very dynamic. So it's a big loss to us. So if we could revive your spirit, their love for Prabhupada, for Krishna, and make them part of this institution somehow at some level. This is one of the things that we would like to achieve also. Okay, so at this point we'll shift the scene to the slideshow area. You can see there are some slides already. Okay, so these Maharajas also, if they could also speak something little. Let's see how many we could accommodate. And then we have mothers, Suchi Rani from Australia, Bhakti Mark from England, Sham Priya from England, Gaurangi from Padyatra worldwide, Hari Priya from Sweden, Mahadevi from Vrindavan. These are some of the Matajis also will be speaking. So before we begin hearing the realization, we're going to request Mahanidhi Maharaj to talk about this island and the pastimes in Rudradweep. Somehow yesterday we didn't talk about the pastimes here, so he's going to briefly
Bowler, the pastimes here. And then we'll go over this list. And by 9:30 we hope to finish all the talks so that we can take breakfast and then pack and go to my Purushandaram Mandir. Yeah, just one brief announcement. Some devotees' baggage is just lying around there. There's so many locals and children. And could you bring your baggage to the baggage area where it is being loaded and being transported to? Make sure your luggage is not anymore in the tent. It has to be out of the tent. I see a lot of baggage. So workers are around and every whole world is around, so don't want to lose any more things.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So just briefly, I'd just like to explain about this place. So this is Rudradweep, the island which is associated with Sakyam, and then finally Antadweep, Atmani Vedanam. So in this place, it's said by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the 11 Rudras are always dancing and singing the name of Gauranga. And to this place, one time, Vishnu Swami came with all his followers. And here, Lord Shiva appeared to Vishnu Swami. And Vishnu Swami and his followers were chanting the names of the Lord. And Lord Shiva personally appeared. And Vishnu Swami, of course, was very ecstatic. Lord Shiva was very happy. And Lord Shiva said, "You Vaishnavas are very dear to me. I'm very happy with your devotional service. Please, you ask for me anything. You can ask for me any boon you like." So Vishnu Swami offered his obeisances. "We just want to belong to your Vaishnava Sampradaya. We want to carry on your preaching under your banner, under your flag." So Lord Shiva was very happy and he joyfully agreed. So he said, from now on you can belong to my Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. This is one of our four Vaishnava Sampradayas. So there, Vishnu Swami said, "All right, let me stay here for a while, here in Rudradweep, and we will try and worship Lord Gauranga and develop love of Krishna." Actually, this was before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So Vishnu Swami was staying here for some days and worshipping, chanting the name of Gauranga! 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 So then, who should appear in his dream but Lord Gauranga? And he said, "Actually, you've got the mercy of my dear devotee, Lord Shiva, and therefore you have bhakti, and therefore your life is glorious. So you can preach this Shuddhadvait philosophy all over the world. You can preach this Shuddhadvait philosophy all over the world." And Lord Gauranga said, "When I appear in Kali Yuga, then you can appear as Balabhata and engage directly in pastimes with me. And you can see him in Jagannath Puri and in Mahavan in Vrindavan, and you will get perfection. So this was what was related by Lord Nityananda to Jiva Goswami. And after relating this story, they proceeded towards Paradanga. I presume that's in the same direction in which we are going. Srinavadvipa Mahatmya Ki. Now, of course, there's a second part of it, is that this place is called Nirdoi. N-I-R-D-O-I-A, Nirdoi. It means heartless. Heartless. It's a funny name for a village, you may ask. Why is it called heartless, Nirdoi? So, we have to remember the leela that took place here. Everyone will remember how Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. He was chanting in the mood of the gopis. He was chanting, gopi, gopi. He was feeling just like a gopi. One of his students said to him, why are you chanting gopi, gopi? Why don't you chant Krishna, Krishna? So Lord Chaitanya said, who is this Krishna? He's a rascal. He's leaving us high and dry. He's a plunderer. He steals our hearts. In this way, Lord Chaitanya is feeling like a gopi. And this student, not knowing Lord Chaitanya's mood, has interrupted him and said, why don't you chant in him? So he picks up a stick and he runs at the student. Then there's a student revolution. Our teacher is behaving badly. And there's a whole series of circumstances. Lord Chaitanya is very regretful of the whole thing. And he told Lord Nityananda, sometimes we take medicine to cure mucus, phlegm, but sometimes it makes more phlegm. So Lord Nityananda understood what Lord Chaitanya was saying, meaning that we're teaching devotional service, we're absorbing Krishna prema, but sometimes it creates the opposite effect. The student community becomes antagonistic. So Lord Chaitanya decided to take sannyas. He told all the associates, like Advaitacharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, everyone, told them, I'm going to take sannyas. And of course everybody was thunderstruck. How can he take sannyas? Our Nimai. He has his mother, he has his wife. How can he possibly take sannyas? But Lord Chaitanya's idea was that if I take sannyas, then this student community, this fringe community who are very doubtful, they will also pay obeisances to a sannyasi, and therefore they'll get the mercy. So therefore I should take sannyas for preaching to society at large, for the sake of humanity. So Lord Chaitanya tried to console his devotees. He told them, actually, I can never leave you. They were very sorry, but he said, actually, I can never leave you. You're my eternal associate. You've been with me many, many incarnations, in different millenniums, and you'll always be with me. Don't worry. This way he consoled them. Don't worry, I'm not going to leave you. You will see me again. Because we've always been together in the past, and we'll always be together in the future. And then, of course, the chief character in this drama, this Nirdoya drama, is Sachi Mata, Lord Chaitanya's mother. And the very pitiful scene is enacted at this time, which is glorified in so many dramas, Bengali dramas, about Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. Of course, Mother Sachi, she is lying on the floor, tears pouring from her eyes. She cannot eat, she cannot sleep, she cannot think. She's just becoming dead. And she says to Lord Chaitanya, I won't be able to see your smiling face, your black hair, your pearly teeth, your ruby lips. I won't be able to see you dancing and singing. Please, you stay here. You do your sangatan at home. Lord Nityananda is here. Gadadhar is here. You stay at home and do your sangatan. Please don't go. Your brother has gone. Vishvambar disappeared. Your father is dead. Who will look after me? And in this way, she said, I'll have to die if you leave. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya simply sat there. Just sat there listening. Very grave. He didn't cry or anything. He just felt a pain of separation within his heart because he'd made up his mind. And so he told Mother Sachi, actually, you also have been my mother many times. In this way he consoled Brother Sachi. You are my mother is Krishni Garbar. Sutapa and Krishni Garbar, remember? Who is that child? Sutapa and Krishni Garbar. I forget who the child was. You've been my mother's Aditi. You've been my mother's Devahuti. Krishni Garbar. Krishni and Krishni Garbar. You've been my mother's Kasholiya. I was Lord Ram. And of course I have to go to the forest then. You've been my mother's Devaki. When I feel Kamsar as Krishna. And in this incarnation I will be your mother two times. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's very interesting. He explains the same message to all the disciples. He says, in this incarnation I will be your mother two times. One, in the form of the holy name and this congregational chanting. These are two incarnations of Lord Chaitanya. The holy name and the congregational chanting. And secondly, in my blissful deity form, in the form of Lord Chaitanya which we worship. Siti Gaunitai Ki. So these are some of the nectar which we can remember. And hearing this, Mother Sachi, her heart was somewhat pacified. But still the fact remains that everybody was heartbroken when Lord Chaitanya, he went to the river here and he looked back at this area, Antadweep, and he either crossed the river on a boat or he swam across on his way to Katwa, where he was to take sannyas from Keshav Bharati. Therefore this place, which is the last place where he left his associates early in the morning, he got up before anybody knew, and he went to the river, and without thinking twice, he crossed over to Katwa and took sannyas. Therefore it is said this village is called Nidoi, heartless. People were thinking, how can Lord Chaitanya be so heartless? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sachi Mata ki. Now are you able to hear? Is it good? Is it okay? Yes?
Yes.
You see, this area may be better. You could sit near the speaker, near the... Speaker, it's called speaker, right? We are not speaker, that's the speaker. The next speaker is Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj. Number one speaker. The next speaker will be Subhak Swami Maharaj. Most of the realizations I had, actually there's two, there's so many, but I mentioned there's two. And the first one doesn't really apply specifically to Nagdweep Mandal Parikram. It applies to any spiritual association like this, even living in Vrindavan for a few months, it's the same thing. That when you're in a well-managed, spiritual environment where nice prasadam with proper variegatedness, nice association, nice kirtan, nice sharing and chanting, so much opportunity for all these things. And every place you look where your mind wanders is basically most of those places are spiritually significant. then your consciousness becomes clear. At that time, my realization is that material life is always distressful. Right? And I've been in distress throughout this entire parikrama. In one sense, my feet hurt, the thought of, you know, your problems from not being able to eat whenever and wherever, whatever you want to, or tongue and belly are agitated. He's bothering you, you know, accommodations, fear over your luggage, you know, look home like that. On and on, and I go for a walk sometime alone, and whatever, get attacked by communists or something, you know. So, but this is the nature of material life, and it's this parikrama is giving even more stronger realization of it, that material life is always, at every moment, distressful. It's not like, well, now it's temporarily happy. I don't accept that anymore. Never temporarily happy. It's always there's some happiness and distress. But every moment, material life is distressful, and it's not going to get anything other than that. And therefore, the real business is to actually just go ahead and proceed and develop spiritual happiness. You know, Brahma Sukham? Spiritual happiness. And right now, my spiritual happiness, my happiness with spiritual activities, as I know, is very minimal. It's almost dead. Like we enjoy honoring prasadam, the spiritual activity. But why do we enjoy honoring prasadam? Because it tastes good. If it didn't taste good, we wouldn't enjoy honoring it. We'd go look for something else. You know. So that's not really spiritual. That's just the baby being taken care of. But if we go on and we become like Madhavendra Puri, who enjoyed the kheer stolen for him, and he enjoyed also, you know, chewing the pot as well. He also ate the pot, you know. So not many people here would like, you know, clay pot for breakfast for prasadam to honor. But that's the spiritual consciousness. And after a while, so I can see myself, I know this, that my actual contribution to spiritual activities and my realization of spiritual life is very minimal. Everything I'm doing is just maybe what might be called shadow attachment for the most part. But there's a little bit of spiritual life there, being kept in a spiritual environment like this padyatra, or any spiritual situation like staying in Vrindavan, or doing Sankirtan, you realize that material life is always miserable. It's not very miserable, it's just miserably miserable. And therefore the situation is that one should go about trying to cultivate spiritual consciousness, which has nothing to do with material life to a large degree, by shedding light Krishna sincerely and reawakening your spiritual life. That's my first realization. Second realization is more specifically about padyatra. I think it's a realization, really more of an opinion. But I wasn't in a continuous state of bhava, you know, wandering through the different holy sacred places of Navadvipa and the association of devotees. We were hearing like from the Mahatmya and so on about, you know, Jiva Goswami rolling on the ground in front of Nityananda, you know, begging for a drop of the ecstasy which was emanating from a certain place. And it wasn't that in that consciousness, you know, like that. Sometimes I was feeling a little spiritual bliss over the specific tirthas. But for me, this first time around, what was happening was that, and it'll take some time to actually realize this, is that by the mercy of the organizers of this padyatra, this Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, and so many other devotees, Krishna, Prabhupada, that we call it the cultural background, the cultural ethos, you know, I was becoming educated in that, you know, seeing what it was like 500 years ago, by going in this parikrama, by being out in the middle of nowhere, walking across rice fields. You see, you can understand what it was like here 500 years ago. It hasn't changed that much. We stayed last night, Maharaj and myself, in the house of the ordinary people. And the way things were carried on there, practically speaking, it could have been carried on 500 years ago, just the same way, the cooking, the social arrangement, the religious thought, like that. So this padyatra supplies the opportunity for someone like myself, which is one of the things I was actually looking for, to actually understand what was the environment that Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago was preaching in, the material environment, and also the social and spiritual environment, like we're hearing about him taking sannyas. So
So the staying of this family last night, we asked the devotees, we took us there, are they devotees? Maharaj asked. He said, no, they're just karnis, you know. But then after staying with them, I can see what it means to be a karni, you know, having been born in Norwood Week like that, in a certain kind of consciousness. But I can see how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to treat the people like that, with a face of certain kind of challenge, you know, which is different maybe than what we experience in the West. So then gradually there are so many things, you know, become alive, say Charitamrita and so on. Now the cultural background is supplied. So finish off and just say that in my own interest in trying to bring people who may be a little bit more intelligent, who may be a little bit more materially qualified and having experience of different cultures, specifically like university professors and people like that. We actually did this on the science conference we had in Bombay. We took to different places like Vrindavan and so on. And it was very, very impressive, very effective. These people, they're used to, they aren't shocked by, you know, having to, you know, go, you know, pass school in the woods, you know. Ordinary Western that might, Palam was saying that the first time he saw the word paying obeisance, he thought it was barbaric, you know. So most Westerners would probably think this way, but more intelligent people who've gone abroad, maybe to Europe on a Fulbright scholarship, you know, when they were younger, and going on a sabbatical to South America. So for them, it still might be a shock to directly enter in to our ISKCON culture, you know, go to our little ISKCON Hare Krishna bubble, and this might seem too cultish, you know, it might just seem too much like something that's all manufactured. But being able to go on these padyatras, which are extremely grounded in the general and historic culture that we're dealing with, and the people go out and they feel, oh, well, this is not just a Hare Krishna cult. This is something that, you know, all the people in this area are engaged in and has been going on for hundreds of years. And then after doing that, traveling on this one parikram, and then they go back to ISKCON and see that the things that we're doing aren't just something that, you know, so many yogis concoct things. They're not concoctions. They're a regular part of this culture. You know, and these, you know, boys and girls are engaged in the regular activities that are part of this culture. So that was, you know, in so many realizations, but that's just two of them. Sorry. Shri Navri Mando Parikram Ki Da. So that one, right? Then Sankarsan Prabhu. He'll be next after the Ramarai. Hare Krishna. Please excuse my English. Sometimes I might have been incorrect English to you. Hare Krishna. So, I remember last year also we have got this Gaur Mandal Parikrama. And I joined, may not be staying with this party all the time. So probably you know, by Prabhupada's mercy, we are staying in one of our best, or not one of our best, maybe the best temple, not maybe best temple, in Mayapur. Prabhupada maybe is like a palatial building, but when you read this, nowadays, Dhamma, Hatha, how Nityananda Prabhu is leading the party, and followed by Jiva Goswami and others, and we can feel, experience that, in a sense that we are, Prabhupada said, you still can associate with the Goswami, provided you carry out what they say, sincerely and seriously, transcendentally we can associate with them. So long, long ago, what all these things happened, we are reading from all the Dhammasa, by the mercy of Prabhupada, actually the devotees coming from different parts of the world. And the basic thing, what is bhakti symptom, Vasudeva Bhagavati, bhakti yoga prayita, janayati asu bhairagram, jnananta jat ahitukam. How do I know that my bhakti is enriched or I am advancing? The symptom, very simple symptom is, you become detached
to worldly necessity and become more and more attached for Bhakti Siddhanta Sakas word himself, Krishna and Krishna. Krishna, that means Krishna's name, Krishna's form, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's pastime, which we are listening here. I could see the devotees are so joyful, coming from affluent society and country. Though I am not, but still by Prabhupada's grace and saint, and giving good first class prasadam as Maharaj, as Prabhupada said, or everyday Mahaprasad, Dandavad, these all. But this is my Maharaj's education, my getting. But when we come here, no such thing, it's all simple, everybody sharing, and very simple life. And all these things, 500 years ago, just Maharaj mentioned, that we see and experience all these things, following that. And the development we also see, that Vairat Govinda Aliya Bhakti Yoga. As Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur says, also other Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, what is Bhakti? Means, I am becoming more and more attached to Krishna, and things dear to Krishna. Krishna's Dham, Krishna's pastime, Krishna's devotee Tulsi Devi, and we are also attached to the devotee. Otherwise, how can he be all coming from different background and temple, not staying in the temple, having little, sometimes, different facilities there, as Sannyasi, DVC, another Brahmachari, see that. But here, everybody more almost same facilities getting, and forgetting all those things, even away from temple. Temple still, these things are little to some extent there. And just Maharaj mentioned, I could never think of, and I mean it last time, seeing that how devotees coming from other parts of the world, when they come to India, passing through first, as I saw, long back, maybe early 70s, devotees telling, whispering, not to me, maybe others, though I could know some or other people were this, that something they found was, it's called culture shock maybe. How? They're going to the field and passing there? Can't think of, they may be in a row sometimes, coming from Delhi or going to Delhi or any part of India. Sometimes they see each of Madras sitting in broad daylight. But they, when they come here, they get used to it and I can think of how to do it. But they can by the mercy of Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada himself said, actual best is Vedic system. Go to the field and all become like soil and dust. But some people cannot, they cannot think of such thing. Because next to their room, they saw a first class carpet, air candy can, everything is there. And what is it? Go to the field, the bushes, even sometimes the daylight, behind some tree. Because this is all, I'm not saying, this is the same as a detached. This is coming because Prabhupada, we didn't know each other. Coming from different country, different background, but by the mercy of Prabhupada, who was mentioning in appearance here of Bhakti Siddhanta, I wanted to carry out the order of my Guru, and I was meditating on that. And so, though we did not know each other, all of you, young boys and girls, coming from good families, good background, but Prabhupada, my Guru Maharaj, has sent all of you to me. And since I am trying sincerely and seriously to preach this Krishna consciousness, you are nicely working, and you have got a good footing of this Krishna consciousness now, and people respect this ISKCON. What Prabhupada said is that somebody says, and astrologer seeing Prabhupada's picture, then he will make a house where the whole world can live together. And you see, that dream is coming true. Every day, there's so much work yet to do. These are the all mercy, unlimited mercy we can get, and we are actually getting. And we are sure we'll get, and we are sure we'll go back to Godhead. So why? We are humble, we are meek, and simple at heart. Different person has different capacity and ability, and different field in Krishna consciousness, they are doing so much service, no doubt. But actually how much we have become free from contamination, we'll know from these old symptoms, how much qualities we have developed. Even more than temple, when we do this parikrama, as asked by Prabhupada to some of his disciples, like Lagnath Maharaj, and other sannyasis are coming, and devotees, and we find these things are manifested in the devotees' character, even in a short time. So, These are all by the sharing of the mastery of our great acharyas up to Prabhupada. So, and the symptom is the devotee seems so joyful. So joyful. When Maharaj asks, you like to come again? And everybody is raising hands. It shows, yeah, yeah. Anybody here? They are going to want to change their mind that they won't come? Yes? Raise hand. Maharaj is asking. How many devotees want to come back? Please raise hand. So it's a sign. Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness means everybody is festival. So we are more or less more anuragi. That means we love of Krishna, attachment to Krishna. That is automatically detachment will follow. If it is not, that means how much service we do, there is some contamination within the heart. Because there could be weak there, it could be proud. So this is a very good opportunity here, I find, in this parikrama, whether it is padayatra or dham parikrama, we can develop. And know ourselves that as in Chaitanya Bhagavata says, sadhu sange hari naam ei matra chai. Basic thing devotional service is chanting and dancing and preaching Krishna consciousness. Then automatically the remembrance of Krishna will come, there is no doubt. This should be spontaneous. So far what we are doing in the beginning is we are endeavoring, but it should be spontaneous. And definitely here it is spontaneous, no doubt about it, devotees can experience, because the joy is there and faith is the index of mind, Prabhupada says, we can see it among the devotees. And they are not complaining, I don't have these, that. Even they are accepting all these things, inconveniences, all devotees there. So we are sure. We are advancing towards the lotus feet of Gauranga. We are getting the mercy of Gauranga. We are getting the mercy of Krishna. I think there are many stalwart devotees here, more experienced than me. I am a small puppet near the feet, so I want to enrich my knowledge and devotion. I am requesting, falling at their lotus feet, please say something. Thank you very much.
And then next speaker is Hari Priya, Mother Hari Priya, and then Smita Krishna.
Om Jnana Simranda Sadaranjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Unmiritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So this holy Dham, which you've gotten the opportunity to enter into, is not different from Lord Chaitanya. This is to come under Navadvipam Parikram is the greatest mercy, because we're actually associating with Lord Chaitanya at every moment. The dust, the trees, everything here that we experience, it is all the holy Dham, it is all non-different from Lord Gauranga. So here we can get very good realizations about what Krishna consciousness is all about. The basic formula for our becoming Krishna conscious is to hear and to chant in the association of devotees. So here in this atmosphere, which is so much surcharged with Krishna consciousness by the divine presence of Lord Gauranga, it becomes very, very easy to enter into this hearing and chanting process. So we can actually realize this in the early days of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada one time raised this point. He said, you just try to bring some point that Swamiji, this point is troublesome. He said, you cannot find anything at all. It is simply recreation. So here on Navadvipam Parikram, we can actually realize there's nothing at all troublesome about Krishna consciousness. It's actually accessible at every moment. Brahmatalkyam vanantam. Spiritual happiness is unlimited, and here we can get a little drop of that spiritual happiness that Krishna consciousness actually is. Unlimited, and here we can get a little drop
of that spiritual happiness that Krishna consciousness actually is. Here we also get to experience, in the West, we have so many amenities, and we're a little attached to them, but here we can see that by just plain living and high thinking, having to take a bucket shower, having to go into the woods to answer nature's call or whatever, we can see that even without all these minor amenities that we've become attached to, that we can be very happy. We don't really depend on them to be happy in Krishna consciousness. Here also, just going down the roads every day, we can simply go, Haribo! And all the people go, Haribo! It's so wonderful. We get some glimpse of what it will be someday when this movement is, when all over the world people have taken this movement very seriously. The same kind of response we get here today in the Holy Dhamma, we get this, someday we'll get this response anywhere throughout the world. We also get a glimpse of what it was like 500 years ago. That culture has carried on from generation to generation. So Prabhupada gave us a house in which the whole world can live peacefully. And that actually, this holy dawn is the center of that house. And as we preach more and more books go out, more and more devotees are made, more and more temples are opened, more and more prasad is distributed, we'll see that the holy dhamma just starts growing. So the whole world becomes a holy dhamma. The influence of the holy dhamma will spread all over the whole world. So here we can actually get connected, we can get plugged in to Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And then we can expand it by preaching. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have devotees from 33 countries on Navadvip Mandal's Harikrama.
Yeah.
At some point maybe we could tell you what are those different countries. Okay, Mother Hari Priya. Hari Puja. Okay. Then Mr. Krishna Maharaj. And after him would be Sushi Rani Mataji from Australia.
I feel very sorry that I have to give some realization, but I will at least try. I feel that the prakram in padyatra style is an essential part for developing a healthy devotee. If all devotees came in 9 days, I think they could learn quite a great deal how to increase their Krishna consciousness. We learn what association really is. We associate with each other. We associate by hearing, by chanting, by walking, by thinking, by eating, by talking. Everything we do in association of devotees. And because the whole day is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, therefore we really are practicing association. I felt that the whole day, from even before we woke up, because we heard signs of other devotees preparing for the morning for chanting, even before that time that we actually rose, Krishna consciousness was already underway. Therefore, I feel that 24 hours on this prakram was different forms of Krishna Katha. By visiting these holy places that we were so fortunate to be able to do, following in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and his associates, devotees, Jiva Goswami, and then later Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. It's actually really hard to understand the great fortune that we were allowed to participate in this Bikram. By visiting these holy places, they become dear to us more and more. And then when we're reading the Lord's pastimes later, we'll be able to understand much more about what we've experienced and what we've learned. The more that the Lord's pastimes and the places of his pastimes become dear to our hearts, I feel that my faith increases. When my faith increases, then I can practice Krishna consciousness better, and I can use my time more properly. And then I pray that one day, by constant Krishna conscious practice, meditation on the Lord's pastimes, and continual parikrams, I pray that we will be able to fully understand that these pastimes are real. Hare Krishna. And please forgive all my offenses. Hare Krishna.
New Zealand, 2 devotees. Switzerland, 10 devotees. Israel, 3 devotees. Mauritius, 8 devotees. America, 13 devotees. Austria, 6 devotees. Ireland, 1 devotee. Holland, 7 devotees. Belgium or Bulgaria? Belgium, 2 devotees. France, 2 devotees. Canada, 2 devotees. Finnish or Finland? Finnish? Finland, 1 devotee. Mexico, 2 devotees. Sweden, 1 devotee. In Colombia, 1 devotee. Yugoslavia has 19 devotees. Austria, 2 devotees. Italy, 4 devotees. Japan, 3 devotees. They're doing a lot of observation. Five out now? Two more joints? South Africa, 4 devotees. England, 14 devotees. Hey, Sankirtan, Hong Kong, 2 devotees. Algeria, 1 devotee. And there are some more names I can think of. Czechoslovakia, 3 devotees. Like there are 33 countries. Okay, fine. So, like this, the registered 160 devotees registered, and then Namahata, Padiyatra, so like that we have 240. Grand total of 240, and then some workers and cooks and like that. With the Krishna.
ओम जना स्मरण तस्या जना जना चलाक्या चक्षुरमुनि तम्यन तस्मे श्रीगुरवे नमः नमः ओम विष्णु प्राय कृष्ण प्रसाद कवि श्रीमति पद्मवेदांत सहस्रनाम नमस्ते सभी प्रतिदेव दूरवाणी प्रचार नियमित सत्य वारी सत्य चारित सारे
So trying to say something, what I realized, I did not realize maybe so much, but I very much appreciate this parikram as being a very parikrama. That's it. Because of the simple way of life and the humble way of approaching the holy Dham. So this is a very nice way of approaching the holy Dham in a very humble way, walking without shoes. The difference when walking, I realize when walking with shoes, you kind of march forward in a proud way, you're stepping everywhere without consideration of ants or stones or whatever. Whereas when we walk bare feet, we humbly step forward, not to harm our own feet or harm any creature, let's say. So, of course, the real wealth of the Brahmins we heard is austerity, tapasya, and that I feel that my wealth has been very much increased by this parikram. But of course, you may say that tapasya, of course, everyone is undergoing tapasya in this world to achieve the goal. Either the goal is mundane education, wealth, or fame, or whatever. So we also undergo tapasya, but for the sake of increasing our spiritual realization and spiritual bliss. So austerity is always there in one way or another. Yes, we're doing it for a different purpose, and doing it for some austerity, for the little bit of austerity that this parikrama is, increases our spiritual wealth, and that is a very wonderful thing. So then I thought of the one may complain that this is not a very sophisticated way of doing things, just walking forward. We could do it in a more effective way, riding in bus or whatever, make better arrangements. But I'm afraid if so would have been done, maybe one could sort of look for to make it a little bit more materially perfect, the whole thing. But then we might lose the spiritual beauty or the beauty of the whole thing, that we living in this tent and whatever, as mentioned, answering to nature's call in nature, like that. So then actually it's a great part of the beauty of the whole thing would be lost. So therefore, and that is the point, is that spiritual perfection and material perfection might be two different things. They may be able to go together, but spiritual perfection is not depending on some material perfection. And becoming materially perfect does not necessarily mean that we become spiritually perfect. So here in this parikrama, I think it's very wonderful because it does not depend on material perfection, but humble and sincere participation of all the Vaishnavas. And it's regardless of who is the temple president, who is the pot washer here, of course the sannyas you recognize carrying the danda. But beyond that, we all work and we all sleep and take rest and take prasadam in a humble way. So we all devotees, and we want to enhance the Krishna consciousness, and that I think this is a very wonderful occasion. I'm very happy to have been here. Though so, whether I will come back next year, I'm not quite sure. But let's see. What? Yes, I will come back. Okay. All the rest is your Popa. Thank you. Very humble. So. Mother Sushi Rani. And this. We have Brother Bhakti Mark. And then Bhakti Radhendra Swami Maharaj.
Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhagavate Kosvami Namo Nama Om Vishnu Varaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Varaya Kosvami. On this program, I've become very aware that I'm not actually at all qualified to enter into and properly hear all the pastimes that have been described. I've not really been able to tune in properly. But somehow or other I'm here. And a strong realization has come to me that this is actually the mercy of my Guru Maharaj, that in spite of the fact that I'm not qualified, still I've been given this opportunity to come, and because there are so many senior Vaishnavas leading the Sarvatam party, somehow or other I'm also being swept along with it and getting the benefit of the constant transcendental sound vibration, because there's actually nothing else going on here than transcendental sound vibration. So while I haven't been able to meditate on the pastimes so much in the places, I have been meditating very much on this indebtedness to my Guru Maharaj, and I've realized that the shelter that one gets at the lotus feet of Guru is actually a free gift, and that this cannot be attained in any other way other than just giving it freely. And that that shelter gives the opportunity to reduce our anxiety about how to protect ourselves in the material world. So realizing that the Guru is actually looking after us, looking after our spiritual life, giving us everything we need for making advancement in spiritual life, there's an opportunity for the mind to become more peaceful, less agitated. And in that state, one actually gets opportunities like this to engage in completely spiritual activities like coming on Navadvip Mandal Parikram. Also, there are specific realizations of his instructions that are found on the Parikram. For instance, he always, in any difficulty, he always quotes the verse Matsita Sarva Durgani. Simply remember Krishna, and by his mercy, you'll cross over all obstacles. So I've taken the opportunity on this Parikram because actually there are so many difficulties, material difficulties for the body and for the mind, so many situations that would otherwise be very agitating. But simply by remembering Krishna, and it's very difficult to forget Krishna when everyone is chanting about Krishna all the time. So in that situation I found that every time some difficulty came up, actually it didn't become a real difficulty, because although the body might be having some problems, the consciousness was not affected to the same degree. There was definite relief in simply remembering Krishna. So while it's easy to do that in a situation like this in Navadvip Parikram, hopefully by getting such realizations we'll be able to go forward and maintain that kind of consciousness when we go back out into other areas and continue to actually overcome material obstacles simply by remembering Krishna. The other thing I've realized is that this whole program is actually non-different from the original pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. One time I was walking along, actually looking at the road so that I'd avoid walking on stones. And then all of a sudden I looked up and I noticed that at the head of the Parikram party, there's Sri Sri Gaunitaya actually leading this procession. And I suddenly realized that if I stop looking down at my feet and worrying about my material body and I look up and see actually what's going on here, this is Lord Chaitanya himself personally leading the devotees through Navadvip. And this is a completely spiritual pastime. It's actually an expansion of the original pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's become available to us by the mercy of very great, elevated associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are freely showing us, actually revealing the Dham to us in this way. And this is also similar to the pastimes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu personally performed at that time. And also all of the devotees who are taking part in this Parikram, I consider that they're all very, very special personalities, and that by continuing to follow this process which Srila Prabhupada has given, by purifying ourselves, all the devotees, every single one, will actually gradually uncover their original spiritual personality, and this pastime will actually become, it will just merge into the spiritual world. So now, having been meditating on my debt to my Guru Maharaj for the shelter that he's given me, the opportunity that he's given me, now as we return to Antadvip, I have a desire to fully surrender at his lotus feet and actually begin to start distributing the mercy which has been coming to me so freely. So I would actually like to request all of the great Vaishnavas here for their kind blessings that I should not lose the realizations that I've gained on this parikram, but rather may get some facility and some intelligence and strength to now go out and distribute this to all the conditioned souls who haven't yet had the opportunity of hearing about this. And I'd like to thank His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, who is showing us the Dham, and all his great associates and servants for their special mercy to allow us to participate in this Navadvip Mandal Parikram. Hare Krishna.
Mother Bhakti Maharaj, Rajananda Swami Maharaj, and then Muralidhar Prabhu.
Namaste, Saraswati Devi, and Gauravani Bhishani, Nirvishesha Sunyaladi, Vasisade Shikani. I remember thinking before I came on Parikram, I really wondered what it meant to actually feel, as great devotees do, feel really fallen. And I think that I really wondered before I came on Parikrama what it meant to feel really fallen, because being very puffed up, I didn't really understand. I could understand it intellectually, but not really. But coming on Parikrama, I think I've realized a little bit what it means to be fallen, especially coming in front of all the devotees who have been very blissful since the beginning and very attached to Krishna and His holy name and Lord Chaitanya and the Dham, and very enthusiastic. And I think it's very humbling to have to just even speak, because my realizations are sort of pathetic really compared to everybody else's. Anyway, I'm really grateful that I've been given the opportunity. I feel that the Parikrama is like a sort of condensed version of life. It's very intense. It's like, I feel it's a parallel to the conditioned soul coming from the material world to Krishna in a very, the process is speeded up. I felt again like a new devotee joining the temple. And in the 9 days that we've been on Parikrama, coming through the 9 islands, it feels like my mind has been virtually dragged through the 9 processes. Anyone who knows me knows that I really find speaking in front of people the most terrifying ordeal. So this is my surrender, if you like, the last of the 9 processes, the real surrender. In the beginning, for me, I can really identify with certain devotees who said that it was very austere. Getting up in the morning, the mind rebelled like anything, feels sick, you know, have to go out into the forest. I mean, everyone's made this point, but for me it was a really, really hard thing to do. My torch wouldn't work, and it was just even you're going to tread in something terrible any second, and you get Indians following you and watching you, and it was very, very austere indeed. And when everyone would go Garanga Kijai, I'd be gritting my teeth and counting the days, and it was only 7 more days, it was only 6 more days. But then towards the end of the Parikrama, I could feel that in spite of myself, I hadn't made any effort. I'd just been here like a vegetable, not even trying to participate or even being enthusiastic like everybody else, but just hanging on in. I'd just become purified, and I found that it was so much easier to chant the Lord's name, and it was so much easier to associate with devotees. Before, I felt, gosh, everybody else is a pure devotee and they're all blissful, and I'm just a worm, and I can't, you know, I'm not part of this, I'm just so materially contaminated. So by the end I felt, well, maybe I am a little bit part of this, and that's, it's just by being here, due to the Dharma and the association of all the devotees, and Lord Caitanya just squeezed so many anattas out of my heart. And in fact, we realize by these austerities, I mean, we have this survey sheet that says, what would you like improved? But I think that if we improve it too much, then it won't have the same effect. As Sridhar Krishna Maharaj said, you know, if it becomes comfortable, then we'll start taking shelter again as material things, because actually on the Parikrama, the only shelter is Krishna and Lord Caitanya and the process and the devotees, and all our anattas are revealed to us, but at the same time we become purified of them, which is a great relief, and we can accept the real shelter. So thank you very much for letting me speak, and let somebody else speak.
Thank you. Who is next? Mark. Just give me 1 second. Right? Okay, Muralidhar Prabhu after Maharaj. And then Mahadevi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, O Lord Sri Guru and Gauranga, O Lord Sri Prabhupada. Anyway, yesterday I was telling them that, you know, Prabhupada said, by simply chanting and dancing and feasting, we can go back home, back to Godhead. But one thing Prabhupada said, you know, he's not flattering us, but we have to become humble, you know, meek and simple. And Tadbhagit was just next to me, I mean, when I was talking yesterday. And he said, even Jesus Christ said, one who is humble can get into the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ also said, what is the use of gaining this whole world when one forgets his own soul? You know, so, anyway, even Bhaktisiddhanta instructed Prabhupada to push on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So it has gone in the hand of the right person to spread this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So one time I was watching the video, you know, Prabhupada was telling about the book distribution. Prabhupada was trying his best to control his tears. And he said his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Thakur Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada, you get money, you know, print and distribute, you know, books. So Prabhupada said, you all are distributing my book, and you all are actually the disciples of my Guru Maharaj. And so, anyway, so it is so nice to get the association of the devotees. And the association of the devotees, we can control our mind. Even sometimes we may live in the temple, still we can find that our mind is attacked by Maya. The more we hear Krishna Katha and the association of the devotees, to increase our faith, you know, one get more philosophical conviction, and one can, you know, ultimately get Krishna prem, love of God. So, anyway, so it is nice that we are enjoying this parikram and the increasing our bhajana more and more. And in this way we can give up, you know, all our material attachment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Saivai Punsam Paro Dhamma Bhakti Yakto Asosite Ayuti Aprita Yin Atma Sukriti. So our constant position is to engage in the devotional service of the Lord without any material motivation and without any interruption. In this way, you know, our devotional service is satisfying our mind, body and soul. So we are, anyway, so we are, you know, this movement is also very lively, very dynamic because of the preaching. As long as the preaching is there, the life is also there. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Manidhar Prabhu, then Mahadevi Mataji, then Mahavishnu Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. I left my parents' home when I was 14, and I've been traveling since the last 35 years very extensively over the whole planet. And there wasn't really a place that I ever wanted to come back to, but I've been coming in and out of India, out of Raj, and Navadvip for the last 5 years, for six, seven times. And it always draws me back in again. There's a certain magic in Raj and in Navadvip, which attracts me very much, and I do a lot of different things here. And the most, and I get a lot of mercy in terms of different kinds of purification, but the thing that I most value in what I got here is the faith that I get every time I come to India and do some kind of austerities or parikramas or other services. The faith increases very much every time. I haven't realized anything what's happened actually in the Holy Dham, but my faith in the books and the philosophy increases more and more just by coming here all the time. And this faith, it's the thing I value the most, and when I go back to the West and engage in prison activities, and I'm still in this prison house of the body and the mind, my faith is now strong enough that I realize and know that one day Krishna is going to unlock that door. And there's another thing I want to say about coming to Raj and coming on these parikramas. I can get, when I come to Raj, benefits everywhere. But the reason why I come on parikramas is actually for the association of the devotees. And I came on the first Rajamanga Parikram, which was, according to my vision, pretty much different from the one we have now. And it's only by the humility of Lokamata Maharaj that the quality of the Parikram has increased so much in terms of management, cooperation of the management. The manager on the Parikramas right now, they're very, very humble. He does so much service, and that inspires me more than anything else when I come to the Dham to see this, because it's lacking very much still in myself. And I come on the parikrams, so some of Lokamaharaj's humility, I hope, will rub off on me, and sometime in the future I will be able to cooperate as well as he does with his preaching program. And I hope as well my realization of what Atma Nivedyam means for us devotees and within this ISKCON movement is actually to cooperate. Sadhana, we all do our sadhana anyhow now, like it's a part of our life, it's like brushing our teeth, we just do it. But this cooperation, that's the big thing, that's the big test. And we can see it here on the parikram. Sri Lokamaharaj in his program, that he actually has applied this fully surrender, Atma Nivedyam, full cooperation with each other, and you can see it on a daily base here. And for this, I like to thank him very much, and his management, and the cooks, and all the people who work behind the lights. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yes, Mahavishnu, not Mahavishnu.
Mahadevi Mataji, then Mahavishnu Maharaj, and then Narasimha Prabhu. Then Sampriya, then Sarvagya, then Bhaktakim, Gaurangi, Ishwar Krishna, Dinabandhu Prabhu, towards the end. They're sharing Dinabandhu. And then Giriraj Maharaj, Dhanurdhar Maharaj, Ladhar Maharaj, all the Maharajas.
I would first of all like to offer my humble obeisances to my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and His Sri Panchatattva, Radha Shama Sundar and Krishna Balaram, Sri Nam Prabhu, the six Goswamis and Tulsi Devi, to the holy dust and all the living entities of the Dham, to His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, and I secretly take the dust of all the assembled devotees' feet for my foodstuff. I am continuing to beg for the causeless mercy of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga and all the Vaishnavas to help me become a sincere servant so I can truly appreciate these parikramas. I hope all the dust I ate is scrubbing some of the dense filth from my black heart. On our survey sheets, we were asked to comment what is the best feature of the parikrama did you like and the least. The best part of the parikrama for me was engaging in the nine devotional processes, especially hearing and chanting and remembering. The least part was tolerating my mind. To participate in the parikrama of the holy Dham is one of the highest benedictions for ISKCON devotees. Our Srila Prabhupada is so merciful to have given us this process of Krishna consciousness, which includes the supreme opportunity of engaging in these nine devotional processes in the holy Dham. How is it that a Western wretch like me is allowed to put my fallen head in the dust of the holy places, not just once or twice, but repeatedly, and even in the association of Vaishnavas? This is truly inconceivable to me. To experience all the activities of this Navadvipa parikrama with my god sisters and actually all the assembled devotees has been the most fulfilling to me. I specifically begin to understand how Srila Prabhupada has built a magnificent mandir which encompasses the planet Earth. When I hear all the different languages and every other sentence I'm hearing, Haribol, Krishna, Prabhupada, Gauranga, Gauranga, I feel extremely happy to be in this ISKCON family of devotees. There were so many material inconveniences that the Matajis experienced, but because we struggled together, we could sit back and actually laugh at all the conditionings of our mind and again chant, Gauranga, Gauranga. As Sridhar Maharaj said in class at the Jagannath Temple, Srila Prabhupada called this material world a place of petty intrigue. I could understand how petty my mind gets when on the fifth day it was meditating on the washer and dryer I used to have in the West as I was pumping the green water in my bucket. And then again, how my tongue was so anxious for the chapatis I had saved for the next morning to eat them right before Mangalarti, instead of running to take darshan of the munificent Nitai Padakamala. Also, the simplicity of the way the Dhamvasis live embarrassed my mind, and I was happy for that. I had to laugh one night when the Matajis in our tent, we had tied all of our mosquito nets to one net, and in the middle of the night, approximately 1 a.m, they all fell down. And we were all struggling underneath the nets to try to find our torches, to get legs off of our spot, and all these things. And in the end, we just sat back and left. So every day, I see more and more how fallen I am. And I am only begging the Gaura Bhaktivindas to allow me their association, to please forgive me for all my offenses, so one day I can become a real devotee and be able to see and hear properly the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for allowing me to come.
Parishamas, followed by Narasimha Prabhu and then Shyam Priya Mataji.
Krishna Vishnu Patali, Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami, Namaste, Saraswati Devam, Gaurvani Prashayana. I tried to make so many notes, what I was going to say, and then, now that I've heard everyone else speaking, then it seems like everyone has already said everything I wanted to say much better and much more sincerely than I could have said it. So hardly anything left for me to say. So actually I was just remembering that I was telling people to come on. I went on the first Navadvipa Parikrama and I was telling other devotees, why don't you come? Parikrama, sorry. I was telling him, you must come on your parikrama this year. And then I was getting involved in all kind of management and various other responsibilities. And I was thinking, well, I won't go on the parikrama this year. But then the devotees I told that they must go on the parikrama this year, they said, no, you have to come. You told us to come. So then they forced me to come. And I'm very thankful because this year I found it more blissful than last year. Definitely more ecstatic. So, I very much appreciate the festival atmosphere. It's like a transcendental Vaikuntha bubble after the year's preaching. I was feeling pretty frayed. So many things had gone on this last year. So I was wondering how I was going to put my head together and mend all the cracks and the confusion. But I was fortunate enough to come into this family atmosphere which His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj has created. And he's able to create such a nice mood amongst us. So I feel very encouraged. I feel just like I've had some kind of inoculation from my own nonsense mind, which will, I hope, will keep me going till next year. Next year's parikrama. I feel that there's some hope now that I may be still in this movement next year after having been on this parikrama. So thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj ki. Maharaj is really opening up. You have opened up this year more. In the first day I realize you're more ecstatic this year then. And you're very helpful. The Singha Prabhu and then the Shampriya and then Sarvagya Prabhu. Good, I think.
Mukam Karoti Vachavam Pangam Mangai Shekirim Yet Kripa Tamaham Bande Srigaram Dinatarinam. My experience on coming on Padayatra, I think in the beginning I saw it just like going out on book distribution. That just before we go out on book distribution, you know, you have a little apprehension. You think how much nicer it would be just to stay back in the temple. You think, you know, it's going to be so difficult out there. So I'd also heard some things about the problems on Padayatra, that it's not